Good evening. The first song this evening will be number 587, Sing and Be Happy. Again, that is 587.
If the skies above you are gray, you are feeling so blue. If your peasant birds seem gray all the whole day through, there's a silver light that shines in the heavenly land. Look by faith and see, my friend, trust in promises, friend. Sing and be happy, let it rest on the throne.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this evening and the day, Father. We thank you for your church. We thank you for this congregation, Father, and each member here. And we pray your blessings upon them and their families. We pray that you be with us in our relationships with our families and our spouses and the friends we come into contact with, and we just pray that we'll represent your kingdom on earth, Father, in a way you'd want us to. Bless us and the struggles that we might have. Forgive us when we're less than we should be, Father, and we pray, Father, you'll keep working with us and bless us in the end. Be with those that are leading tonight in the worship, and especially with Phil and Carson, and just bless them, Father, with good memories and of what their intentions are in the lesson and the singing, Father. Be with us as we praise you tonight, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good evening. I'm going to throw the order of worship all in a tizzy tonight, if that's all right with you guys. You okay with that? All right. So tonight we're going to talk about song a little bit. And because I wanted to talk about singing, because singing is a big part of my life. It's a big part of who I am. I've loved singing ever since I can remember. My mom tells a story that she's told 1,000 times. Kids, you know what I'm talking about. Mom has a story, those stories that she tells over and over and over again. You know what I'm talking about? My mom has one where she remembers the time where she heard me singing for the first time. So the way she tells it is that I was right in the back seat of the car. I don't remember it myself because I was a toddler. She said I was barely just talking, and when I was strapped in the back seat of the car, and without any prompting whatsoever, it wasn't on the radio or anything, I started singing "Delta Dawn, what's that flower you got on?" And so she loves telling that story, and but that's when I first started singing, and so as long as I can remember, I've been singing, and I'm going to tell you a little something about me. If I'm talking to you, there's a good chance that what you're saying to me, there's also a song playing in my head. Okay, because if you say to me, hello, Phil, what I hear is hello. And so then that hello prompts a song in my head. So I may sing Hello, Dolly. I may sing Lionel Richie. Hello, my friend. Hello. Or I may sing, Neil Diamond. You know what I'm getting at, okay? I have these songs. They just pop in my head, and I'm always singing them. And so in my past, I've kind of gotten in trouble a little bit because I usually these thoughts that are going around in my head, I let them out, and I just start singing. And so it was annoying to a lot of people. So I've had to kind of rein it in. And so I know that the people who share an office with me may not believe what I'm saying, but I really have got it a lot more under control than I used to, okay? But I'm telling you all this because singing just comes naturally to me, and singing is very important in my life. So this morning, Marty was talking about, he did a great lesson on honoring God in worship. And so tonight, I almost threw away everything that I was going to present because he told me that I'm supposed to worship for his purposes, for his will. And I'm just going to sit up here and tell you that I worship with song because I like it. And so I was like, well, we can't have that. But luckily enough, God and I just happen to share the same good things. God likes it too. And so it's okay. I think it's going to be okay for me to talk about music tonight. Because to me, worship, or the songs that we sing is a big part of worship, and it's very important to me. And so I think it's an amazing gift that God has given us. I think it helps us as we share our hearts to God. It aids in our worship in many ways. But my lesson tonight is not about worship at all, because I want to make a case to you tonight that singing, though it's an important part of our worship, it's not intended to be limited to worship. Let me show you what I mean. So when we talk about music and worship, there's two verses that we kind of go to a lot. We see these a lot. So the first one here, we see, there it is. All right, we see Ephesians 5:19, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. We also see this one. This one may be familiar to you also. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness to your hearts to God. It's Colossians 3:16. So these verses, they do a lot to teach us about what music looks like in worship and what it does for us in worship. And so our time of worship is blessed by music, and God wants us to sing to Him and lift His voice or lift our voices up in praise to Him. But you see, neither one of these verses is talking about our worship time. In Ephesians 5, if you look at the context, you could turn there and look if you test me out if you want to. Paul is writing about how Christians are to live a life that imitates Christ. He's talking about their everyday life. He says, you are to imitate Christ. He tells us how we should walk in love, just like Christ did. He warns us to be careful of how we act and to put away things that are immoral or impure. When Paul tells the Ephesians to sing and make melody with their hearts, he's saying, you should no longer live for the flesh. Instead, you should do this. You should sing and make melody in your hearts. And so he's talking about something that happens every day. In the same way, Colossians 3 is also written to Christians. Paul's telling them to put off the old self and put on the new self. He says the old self was chasing after worldly things, and the new self has set its mind on things above. So in both cases, Paul says that singing should be a way of our life. It should be part of our everyday life. For anyone who's following Christ, that these songs help us get through our lives. And so I'm going to make a case to you tonight that's at least how it is for me, and I hope it is for you also. Colossians 3 shows us that we are to set our mind on the things above. So singing helps us keep our mind focused on God. So there's no better way to do that than with song. When we remember the words of these songs, it focuses our mind on what's important. It helps us to remember truths that are important, and it helps us lift God up. And so just listen to the words of this song, and I want you to see how this song can encourage you to focus on the teachings of God. Listen as I read the lyrics of this song. I hope you can see that. If you can, okay. Anyway, when we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief nor a loss, not a frown nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for those who will trust and obey. Then, in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet or will walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Singing also brings us joy. Right in the middle of our Bibles, there's a book that's full of songs. Many of these songs express joy and praising God. And so for many people, if you were to ask, I would assume most of us in this room would say that we find joy in songs. Because there's actually a scientific reason why we might find joy in songs. When we sing, it releases endorphins in our body. So that means God created our bodies to enjoy and get pleasure out of singing. And so God created us to be able to sing and to lift up praises to Him. So music, it fills our hearts with joy, and it affects our life. It affects our attitude in life when we can remember these songs. And it doesn't mean we have to sing them out loud. I do, but you don't. As long as you sing them inside, you're when they're filled in your heart, that's what's important. Just listen to these psalms and how they express joy. It says, "But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let him ever sing for joy." Psalm 5:11. And Psalm 5:9-2 says, "I will be glad and exalt in you. I will sing praise to your name, Most High." So this has been something that has been a part of the human from the very beginning. Humans love to sing. And we see the same thing in New Testament. Look at James 5:13. He says, "If anyone among you is anyone among you suffering, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise." Sing praises to God. And here's another psalm. When I show you the words of this, I'm going to read through this, and I want you to see if this sounds familiar. This may sound like a psalm or a song that you sing, okay? This says, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations." The Lord is good, and he gives us goodness. His goodness gives us joy, and our joy is expressed in the songs that we sing out to him. So let's sing this psalm of gladness. You ready, Carson?
I will enter.
Not only does song give us joy, but also provides us comfort. How many of you have ever felt comfort from a song that you've sung? It happens all the time, yeah? Show me the hands. I saw some hands. Show me your... That, because song, it comforts us when we're in trouble. When we feel like that we can't keep going, we can sing a song, and it changes our attitude. It changes our mindset, and we see this in Psalms also. Let's look at Psalm 63:7. It says, "For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings, I will sing for joy." Because he helps us, he's there for us. So when we don't know where to turn, God is there to cover us. He's there to protect us, and singing can turn our sadness into joy. When I was a child, I have a memory that's burned into my brain. I will never forget this because I was a young child, and the youth group at the church we were at had made a video of a skit, some skits, and one of these was this girl. She comes on all by herself, and she has this sad, this really angry look on her face, and she's crossing her arms, and she has this angry countenance on her face, and then she just starts singing, "Jesus loves me this." And she, as she started singing, her face started changing, and by the time she got to the end of the song, she was smiling and she was happy. Now, as a child, that was very corny, and most of us were sitting there laughing at her, okay? But the lesson that I learned from that is burned in my brain, and I will never forget it, because I learned how song can completely change our attitude. When we feel like the world has completely dumped all over us,
We can sing a song and it changes our outlook. And I just think that's a beautiful thing, what God has given us. And so I think in the same way that God comforts us when we're struggling, He sees our troubles. And when we look at the truths in the songs that we sing, the troubles in our life seem so insignificant because what God has given us is so much bigger and so much grander and so much glorious than any of the troubles that we have here on this earth. And it just gives us the ability to see past all those troubles and see Him for who He is. And so God's song can bring us peace in a very powerful way. And I think that's why it's so special to me. A man named Horatio Spafford, I think that's how you say his name. Some of you may know who I'm talking about already, okay? Because this man learned how powerful that a song can be to help you through a grieving heart. This story's been well known, so most of you may have heard this before, but if you haven't, let me tell you just briefly about what Horatio did. He was inspired to write a song that we all know well, "It Is Well With My Soul." He wrote this song as he passed by an area, he was on a ship, passed by the waters, where not long before that, he lost four daughters who were on another ship that sank. And so as he was passing this area, it inspired him to write the song, "It Is Well With My Soul." And so I'm going to read the words of this song. So I want you to think of, I want you to listen to this song. I want you to hear the pain and the anguish in this song. But then I also want you to hear how he can, he's showing how he can, he's coming out of that, how he has hope for what is coming, even though he's experienced something so horrible in his life. So listen to these words. "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. And Lord, haste the day when the face shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul."
It is well with my soul. 490.
When
Whatever my
at our verse in Colossians. Let's look at Colossians 5. Let's read that again. It says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." So we see first here that a song provides instruction. And I think this is a big reason why singing is so powerful. Not just the melodies and the beautiful words, but what it teaches us and what we get out of it. Singing is a great way to learn about God, and it helps us dwell. It helps His Word to dwell in us so that we never forget how powerful the truths of God's Word are. So I think we've fulfilled this command in many ways with our songs. I think we have been blessed with authors who have done a fantastic job in communicating some of God's great truths, and so I want to share some of these ways that we have that we've followed this instruction to allow song to teach us. So first of all, we of course learn biblical truths. So when we sing, the words that we sing kind of stick in our minds. I know it is with me. It's a way for us to remember who God is and what He's done for us. So let me give you an example. Hey, kids out there, have you ever wondered if God really loves you? Or does Jesus love you? How do you know? Because you sang about it, right? So how's that song go? Sing with me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. So now if you ever wonder, does Jesus really love me? All you have to do is remember those songs that you've been singing since you were old enough to sing. And you know that Jesus really does love you. In the same way, many of our songs contain theological truths. When we think about these songs, we remember the amazing things that God has done for us. So singing also helps us to remember biblical facts. One thing that I had never really learned was the apostles. And when I had kids, they went off one weekend to my mother-in-law's house. And my mother-in-law is a Bible school teacher. And she teaches young kids. And so she taught my kids this song. It taught me the apostles. And it's to the same tune, right? So it says, Jesus called them one by one, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Next came Philip, Thomas too, Matthew, and Bartholomew. James, the one they call the less, Simon, also Thaddeus. The 12 apostles Judas made, Jesus was by him betrayed. Yes, Jesus called them. Yes, Jesus called them. Yes, Jesus called them. And they all followed him. Our songs are so helpful. I said I never knew that song growing up as a kid, and my kids came home and taught it to me. And so it has an amazing ability to be able to teach us things, and that's how I remember things. If I want to remember something, I put the facts. If I have to remember a test, I could put them to song, and I can remember them better, right? Make a tune out of it. And so I'm sure there's some other things that our kids know that are amazing facts because of our amazing Bible class teachers here have taught them these songs, and so they know truths about God that they wouldn't have known otherwise. And so thank you Bible school teachers for doing that for our children. Also, singing helps us to memorize Scripture. I am not very good at memorizing things. I'll be honest, I don't memorize things very well at all, but I know a verse that I've known for a really long time. Blessed is the man who endureth temptation, for when he is tried shall receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those that love him, James 1:12. Now, how did I know that? How could I remember that? Because I just sang that song in my head, right? Because it's a song. They sing that in Oklahoma. I don't find too many people around here who know that song. But if you know it, I'm going to sing it. So let's sing it with me. I think it's in here. Yeah. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried shall receive the crown of life. I'm doing this by myself. That the Lord has promised to those that love him. James 1:12. So anyway, I learned that back in Kansas. I'm from Kansas, so maybe it's a Kansas thing. I don't know. But anyway, that it helps us to remember Scripture. And I'll bet every one of you can do the same thing, because I'll bet most of you in this room know the first five verses to Psalm, I believe it's 95. Psalm 95, let me find in my notes here. Yes, Psalm 95. In fact, if you have an NIV, hold it up for me. Okay, so if anybody has an NIV, turn to Psalm 95, and when we sing this song, you can read it right out of your Bible, because that's where the lyrics to this song come from, and it's an exact quote from that scripture. So Carson, come up here. No, you don't. I'm singing this one. All right. He said, "You're doing that one, Dad." Okay. So, all right. So if you know this song, let me sing it with me. Come, let us sing with joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods, and his hands are the depths of the earth. And the mountain peaks belong to him, the sea is his, he made it, and his hands form the dry land. There you go. That's Psalm 95. Good job. You guys are very smart memorizing scripture like that. So singing helps us in so many different ways. There's many other lessons that we could learn from song, but we're running out of time, so I'm gonna move on to some other things. But the second part of Colossians shows us that there's more to singing than just learning facts and knowing about God. Because it also says that it admonishes us. I got it back up here. So it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another. Okay, so songs help us to admonish. Admonish comes from a Latin word that means urgently warn. Okay, so these songs warn us about troubles that we need to make sure we avoid in our life. So this means when a song can help us see when we're falling short, and they can warn us of behaviors that are sinful and remind us of the consequences of our actions. And so listen to the words of this song and see if you can't see that in here. Oh, do not let the word depart, and close thine eyes against the light. Poor sinner, harden not thy heart, be saved, oh, tonight. Tomorrow's sun may never rise to bless thy long deluded sight. This is the time, O then be wise, be saved, O tonight. Our God in pity linger still, and wilt thou thus his love requite? Renounce at once thy stubborn will, be saved, O tonight. Our blessed Lord refuses none who would to him their souls unite. Believe, obey, the work is done, be saved, oh, tonight.
Number 939. Oh, why not tonight?
Oh, do not let the word depart and close thine eyes against the light. Poor sinner, harden not thy heart, be saved, O tonight. Oh, why not?
But singing is also a way that we can be encouraged. In Acts 16, beginning in verse 25, we see an amazing story about Paul and Silas in the Philippian prison. This story tells about the conversion of the Philippian jailer, and it's memorable because of the miracle of God sending an earthquake to break open the prison, and the events eventually lead to this jailer being converted to Christ and giving his life and being baptized. This story is also amazing because before the earthquakes, Paul and Silas were singing songs in the prison. They were singing these songs that to encourage themselves in this time where they were in a prison and not in good conditions, and the songs were encouraging them and giving them some peace. But their singing did more than that, because in verse 25, we see that the other prisoners were listening to Paul and Silas. So the singing benefited the other prisoners just as much as it did Paul and Silas. So listening to this music must have had some effect on them, because when the earthquake did come and the doors were thrown open, and everybody had the opportunity to leave. They could have left this prison. Now, we understand that, Paul and Silas, we kind of get the fact that they stayed back, right? You know, they're trying to do what's right. You know, they know that this jailer's going to lose his life if they run away. So they're going to stay there. But there's a prison full of guys who also chose to stay in the prison. They chose to stay there. I'm assuming it's because they were encouraged by Paul and Silas. Okay, we know that it lifted them up and it gave them peace in that time. And so our songs have that ability. We've already seen how they give us strength when times are difficult, because our spirits are lifted and we're encouraged. But songs can also be an encouragement to others. So when we're singing to each other, we lift each other up. And we help other people to produce those endorphins and to feel that gladness, to feel the happiness that comes from singing. So I want you to listen to this next song. Listen to how these words are such an encouragement, because they really lift me up. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be seen as the days go by. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged. God is over all. Count your many blessings. Angels will attend. Help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings. See what God hath done.
Number 742.
When upon my spill. Amen.
Singing also helps us to reveal our hearts to God. There have been so many times that I didn't know how to express to God what I wanted to tell him. And I've been able to find a song that says the words that I'm trying to say but didn't know how to say it. And our songbooks are full of songs like this. Songs that help us to show God what is really inside our hearts. What we're truly thinking. It helps us to ask for strength. It helps us to show him how much we rely on him. Our songs show so much and reveal so much of who we are to God. And so I think that's one of the reasons why praising God is such a beautiful thing, both to us and to God, because it allows us to speak to him in a way that we can't otherwise. So there's many of our songs that we sing that we've been, and so just let's, I'm going to read Psalm 42, and I want you to listen to these words here. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. I want you more than gold or silver. Only you can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver and the apple of my eye. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you.
Number 71, As the Deer.
As the
But perhaps the biggest reason why we sing songs is because it praises God. It's what God asked of us. What Marty was talking about this morning. What God wants is to be praised. And this is one way that we praise him and we lift him up. Psalm 47, 6 through 7, sing praises to God, sing praises to our King, sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth, sing praises with a psalm. Praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty heavens, praise him for his mighty deeds, praise him. according to his excellent greatness. And just like the men and women in Scripture, when they sang, they sang praises to God. When we sing, we also sing praises to God. We share that with them. We share that because that's what God wants from us. That's what God is asking of us. And our songbook is full of songs of praise. In fact, if you look at that songbook in the pew in front of you, what does it say? Songs of faith and praise, right? Because they're songs of praise. In fact, most songs can either be labeled as praise songs or encouragement songs to each other, right? Most of them fall into one of those two categories. But in that songbook, the editors of that songbook decided that they are going to start their book off with a praise medley. So that the first three songs, they take the first one or two verses and sing praises to God through that. And so Carson chose this. He wanted to be able to sing this praise medley. And so if you will join with me as we praise God in singing these praise songs to him. Why don't you stand up? Let's praise God. Stand up. Be seated. Our songs are so powerful. The songs I highlighted today are only a small sample of the amazing truths that we can find in our songbooks. In fact, most of you are probably sitting there saying, "Hey, you should have used this song," or "I really love this song." And those are all beautiful, and they all fit perfectly with what we talked about tonight, because our songs are all amazing. And so I encourage you, and you probably already do this, but if you don't, I want to encourage you that when we're worshiping, when we're singing songs to God, don't just say, "Oh, we're just singing right now." Listen to those words. Let those words sink into your heart. Let them affect you. Let them guide you in your life, and allow them to teach you and encourage you, and help you to live a life, an everyday life that is in service to God. So songs help scriptures to come alive in amazing ways, only if you let it. So in a moment, Carson is going to lead another song he chose for invitation. And so if you're feeling overwhelmed, I pray that this song is going to give you some encouragement. If you are feeling lost, I hope this song will help you find your way. If you need any help from this congregation, I pray that this gives you the strength to come down here and ask for that help, because we want to help you. We want to put our arms around you, and we want to love you, and we want to help you through whatever it is that you're struggling with. So if there's any way that we can help you and encourage you, please come forward as we stand and sing.
Sing to me.